And God desires to bless every part of our life. And that we get to walk and that he like that we get to walk in those blessings in every part of our life. Oftentimes we think about abundant life is maybe financial, but I want to expand this as abundant life. And Pastor Mark talks about this in six areas of our life, you know, relationally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, and I'm missing the sixth one, mentally. So when we are talking about abundant life is in every area, every facet of our life. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of peace and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope." But it's also important that we know that that scripture is coupled, it's written in a time when the Israelites are in exile. They're in 70 years of exile during this time, and he's promising them that there is something ahead of them than what they are experiencing at this time. And their own doing had put them in this situation, and oftentimes our own self puts us in a situation where we kind of live less than what God has intended for us. But he still says, like, I have this available for you. Just hold on, walk with me, trust with me, obey me, and we're going to get there. And so God desires for us to live in and walk in abundance. He doesn't desire lack for us, and he doesn't lack anything that we need. And God's not average, therefore his plan for you and I is not average. John 10:10 tells us, it says, "I, Jesus, have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." And just like in Jeremiah 29:11, there is this promise, but it's coupled with exile. In John 10:10, there is this promise, "I've come to give you life and life abundantly, but there is an enemy that has come to steal, kill, and destroy." But Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. Jesus tells us exactly what the plan of the enemy is, but he continues with the promise that he has for us, that what he has in store for us is greater than what we can imagine. So in order for you and I to walk in this abundant life and to walk with freedom, to walk freely in this abundant life, we must learn to grasp the authority that has been given to us from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Too many times we live our life just beaten up, downtrodden, timid, walking in fear, walking in shame, all these things we've talked about. When God says, it's time to move past that, trust me, and let's walk in abundance. So my prayer for you today is that you understand the authority that you have to be able to move through life freely so that you can walk in abundance. And so we're going to talk about three things today, how the Good Shepherd protects, guides, and provides. The Good Shepherd gives us access to this abundant life because he is exactly that. He is good. And I mentioned this earlier, God is good all the time. And because he is good, and if we understand that he is good, then we can move through hardship knowing that there is still abundance available to us in hardship and outside of this hardship, that because he is good, we have, and he is the good shepherd, we have access to this abundant life. John 10:11 says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." And that's what we celebrated last week, was Jesus' death and resurrection. He laid down his life for his sheep. And when we think about a shepherd, we think about, you can imagine what shepherds do. I don't know if you've ever seen them. We've been able to see shepherds in Israel, real life, kind of guiding their flocks. And they will do anything. We read about it. David did anything it took to protect his sheep because that was his family's livelihood, right? And so in Psalm 23, we read, I'm going to read this quick. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for you are with me. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we think about that particular psalm, We think about the good shepherd, right? And he has promised us, even in the presence of our enemy, he's going to take care of us. He's going to prepare a table, and he's anointed our head, and our cup overflows. That means there is an abundance available for us when we walk in obedience and don't let fear, shame, like all the things that we have been talking about being free from, when we don't let them control us and we trust the good shepherd, then we can walk in the abundance that's been given to us. I think David has this ability to say this one because he fought off bears and lions to protect his flock. But then he eventually goes to fight off Goliath, right? And he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of his life, because he knows that God has been with him when he fought the bear. He knows that God was with him when he was anointed to be king, when he was just a child. He has seen God's faithfulness, so he knows the good shepherd, the one that taught him how to be an actual shepherd, is going to bless his life. And so the first thing we want to talk about is the good shepherd protects. A shepherd protects his flock because he is guarding the most valuable asset a family could have. So thus David was willing to risk his life to fight off bears and lions. Shepherds will risk anything to protect their sheep. And when we read that Christ is our good shepherd, we understand that he is good, he was good, and he will continue, he will always be good. And he has come to protect your life, first from eternal death by offering you salvation so that you can have eternal life, because he laid down his life for you and I. And Christ also is our good shepherd because he gave his life for us, so we no longer have to live as slaves, but that we can live abundantly and we can live free. He says, I've come that you might have life, but have it abundantly. You have access to this abundant life through the death and resurrection of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. But with that promise, again, we're warned about an enemy that has a real plan and a desire to come against you and I. So as we take a look at the enemy for a moment, I want to recognize he says three things. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal, to take from you what has been rightfully given to you by God. He wants to kill or slaughter. He wants to take you out, take out your life, take out your marriage. He wants to essentially sacrifice anything that God's given you. And he wants to destroy you. He wants you to perish and put you in ruin. That's a very heavy thing, but that's what the enemy has desired to do. But Jesus warned you, this is what he's trying to do. But I have come to give you life and life abundantly. We see that these very things Jesus was tested with. Jesus, as he encounters Satan on the mountain, he says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. He was testing if Jesus would take his own life. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He was trying to steal from him and get him to obey the enemy, take away his authority. And then Satan also says, all these things I'll give to you if you fall down and worship me. He was trying to get him to destroy him, trying to destroy himself. See, Jesus faced this kill, steal, and destroy there at the beginning of the Gospels when he meets Satan on the mountain. There's a clear pattern of how the enemy works, and he wants nothing more than for you and I to continue to struggle. But the second part of John 10:10 says, I have come to give you life and life abundantly. And Jesus demonstrated that through the word that we can be overcomers. The good shepherd who gives us abundant life has equipped us on how to stay protected against the schemes of the enemy. So in Ephesians 6, I don't have it pulled up actually. Ephesians 6, 10 and 18, it talks about the armor of God, right? It tells us that I'm just going to pull it up so I can read it, sorry. Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord and against his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you're able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, and against the worldly forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you're able to resist the time when the times are evil. And after you've done everything, stand firm. Stand firm, buckle the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Strap your feet in with readiness of the good news of peace. Above all, take up the shield of faith, which you are able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit on every occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In order for us to overcome the schemes of the enemy, because the enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy, those are his schemes. In order for us to overcome that and live the abundant life that's been promised to us in John 10, we have to take up the full armor of God. And we have to put on the belt of truth, which is Jesus, which is covering ourselves with the blood of Jesus, right? Put on the belt of truth. It says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because of him, you are in Jesus, who became wisdom and God and righteousness and holiness and redemption. Jesus is our peace as we put on the peace on our feet. The shield of faith, focusing on Jesus, the initiator and perfecter of our faith. The helmet of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The sword of the Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. For the Word is, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then there's this. It's often not coupled with the full armor of God, but I put it there because it's right there. Pray in the Spirit. John 14 tells us, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Romans 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. The Good Shepherd, who desires for us to have abundant life, has prepared us that there is a real enemy out to get us, wants to take us out. But he has equipped us through the power of the Holy Spirit to put on the armor of God and to use our mouth and pray in the Spirit and come against everything that the enemy is throwing our way. He laid down his life for us so that we could have abundant life, so that the Holy Spirit could come, so that we could engage in the spiritual battle that requires a supernatural covering so that we can live this abundant life. So the Good Shepherd protects. The Good Shepherd guides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. It's a really beautiful picture if we think about it, as we think about Jesus guiding us into this super peaceful place where it just feels, in my mind, it feels so serene. And God sent Jesus as our good shepherd to give his life for us so that we can have eternal and abundant life. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he has sent us a helper and a guide. John 16 again, I tell you the truth, it is my advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him. And then John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. When Jesus went away, the Good Shepherd sent the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, so that we can live out who we've been created to be, so that we can walk in the abundant life that he has for us. It's not about our truth. It's about what the Bible says is true. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us what is true so that we can stand in and walk in the abundant life that God has given us. We've each been given a vital part of the body, a vital part of the body of Christ so that we can function. The whole body can function. And the Holy Spirit now guides us and teaches us about these gifts. He imparts them to us and he teaches us how to use them so that we can fulfill the purpose and, like, not just oh, live my purpose, but to impact the kingdom. I tag that onto the saying every time because it's not about us. It's about impacting the kingdom and bringing as many people with us as we can get. And so the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And he gives us these gifts so that we can live out this abundant life, right? 2 Corinthians 14, for the body is not one part but many. If the foot says, since I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? And if the ear says, since I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, is it for this reason any less of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. They are all one part, where would the body be? But now there are many parts, yet one body. So we all have different functions. We all been gifted differently to be able to operate as one body so that we can live out this purpose and expand the body, the kingdom of God, right? And so we receive gifts from the Holy Spirit that equip us to walk in our purpose, to live out the abundant life that God has given us. And then 1 Corinthians 12, 4 says, now there are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are various kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are various kinds of working, but the same God who works all things and all people. But to each person is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the benefit of all. To some, he has given the Spirit, through the Spirit, a word of wisdom, another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit activates all these things, distributing to each person individually as he wills. When we look at these gifts, the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts so that we can operate as a body. And when we operate in these gifts, we are walking in the abundance of who we've been called to be. So we could go through all of these gifts individually, and we could do that at another time. But what you need to know is that these gifts, just like Dan said, it's like having a check. God's like, here's a present, and you get to decide if you get to let the Holy Spirit activate it in you or not. Right? I don't know about you, but I sure hope that the Holy Spirit's constantly activating discernment in me, because I need to know what's going on, not just what I see, right? I hope words of wisdom are being put in me so that when I come across someone in Target and they look real sad, the Holy Spirit says, tell them this, right? That gift rises up in me. So, and when I do that, I don't really ever walk away feeling like, oh, that was the worst decision I've ever made. I walk away feeling like, okay, I feel good because I've been obedient to who the Holy Spirit's called me to be and what he called me to do, right? And so when we walk in abundance, it's also walking in how the Good Shepherd guides us and imparts gifts to us so that we can be who he's called us to be. The Holy Spirit activates and distributes the gifts as he wills, but we also have not because we ask not. You can ask the Holy Spirit, maybe you've spoken tongues, but you've never prophesied. Maybe you've never laid hands on somebody and prayed for them to be healed, but you've given a word of wisdom to me. Nobody said you can't have them all. Jesus had them all, and he told us we could be like him, so why can't we have all the gifts? Ask the Holy Spirit to activate those gifts in you so that you can continue to walk in and live in the abundant life that you've been called to live in. And lastly, the Good Shepherd gives us access to provision. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Your life can feel like a roller track. on one, they have two parallel lines running this way, moving at the same time, but two very different things happening. On one side, we could be experiencing the beauty of life, and at the very same time, we can experience deep pain, two opposing emotions coexisting at the same time. And I think we often live in a world where we think we can only have one. You can have coexisting emotions. You can live in peace and your world be falling apart at the same time. Those things can coexist. David writes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Like David walked some valleys. He was facing Goliath and there was death in front of him and it was shouting at him. And he was like, but I also am going to walk in authority. Right? The good shepherd laid down his life, provided us salvation so that as we exist among the struggles of this world, we can still rest assured that we are covered by his blood. The good shepherd provided the Holy Spirit, which continues to supply us with what we need to live an abundant life among the chaos around us. Abundant life is not the absence of hard things, but it is the presence of the Holy Spirit moving in our life and providing everything that we need in the middle of our difficulty. In Matthew 6, when Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, part of the prayer says, "Give us this day our daily bread." This is asking God to sustain us for what we need for this day through the ups and downs of daily life. They had to collect manna on a daily basis. God provides sometimes what we need on just the daily. We only take what we need for the day. Provide for me what I need. Give me the gifts for today. But every day he desires for us to focus on him and ask him, what do you need to give me today so that I can live out who you've called me to be today? We do this by asking the Holy Spirit to produce in us the fruit of the Spirit that sustains us and others around us day by day. In Galatians 5, you can read of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, hold on. Just kidding, that's not the right verse. I pulled that up. Sorry. We can ask the Holy Spirit to give us the fruit that we need to be able to sustain life, right? Give us this daily bread. Help me produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness today. Just like the parallels of the path of blessing and hardship, so can be the tensions of the flesh and the spirit. Like Brad read earlier today, there's fruit of the flesh, and we haven't been given the Spirit in order to walk in the flesh. But when we walk in the Spirit, we produce that gives us access to the abundant life. As we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, then we begin to develop and grow the fruits. These are the things that sustain us in our difficulties and what we can offer to those around us. You get to say, I've walked through hard times and I've experienced peace in the middle of really difficult. And then you run into someone and they need a little bit of your peace. And you're like, here, take my fruit. It's important for us to remember that these come from the Holy Spirit and they require more than our humanity to conjure up. These are the fruit of the Spirit are supernatural expressions that come from the Holy Spirit. And when they come from the Holy Spirit, they can coexist and override our natural emotions despite what we may be experiencing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Good Shepherd has given us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
John 10:10 again reminds us, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life abundantly. In order for us to live in that abundant life, that's meaning we're breaking free from all these things that have trying to hold us back, and we're recognizing the authority that we have through the abundance that the Holy Spirit gives us. We put on the full armor of God, and we ask for God to activate the gifts in us, and we produce the fruit of the Spirit, and we start to walk in abundance, and you will see it start to affect every area of our life. Abundant living isn't just about living abundantly for ourselves, though that God desires for you to do that. It's about living out your purpose so that you can impact the lives around you, so you can share with them, I was once lived in fear and now I don't. I once lived in shame and now I don't. Let me tell you, I was once blind, but now I see. Let me tell you about the amazing things that God has set me free from. And now I get to walk in freedom, and I get to walk in a covering from head to toe by the blood of Jesus. And I get to walk in power and authority because of the Holy Spirit. The Good Shepherd laid down his life so that we can all live abundantly. The Good Shepherd protects, he guides, and he provides through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray in just a second, but I want to give you a little bit of homework. If you've never read Ezekiel 34, I encourage you, do that this week. Read it every single day. Read that chapter. Read 33, 34, and 35. That helps with context always. I'm a context person. But Ezekiel 34 is, the Lord is our shepherd. And he writes this, and he's pointing forward to Jesus coming, and like to the Good Shepherd is coming, and it's pointing towards the Holy Spirit. But I am going to read this one section. Verse 11, it says, For thus says the Lord Most High, here I am. I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his sheep on the day he is among his scattered flock, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them out of the places where they have been scattered on a day of cloud and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples. I will gather them from the countries. I will bring them back to their land. I will shepherd them among the mountains of Israel by the streams, and in all the habitable places of the land. I will shepherd them in good pasture. Their grazing place will be on the high mountains of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground. They will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will tend my flock and make them lie down. It is a declaration of the Lord. In the Old Testament, he's saying, I am the Good Shepherd, and I am going to take care of my people. I will bring you in, and I'm going to give you abundant life. He brought them out. He's constantly saying, I'm going to bring you out of bondage all the time, and I'm going to give you an abundant life. And he continued to do that through the Old Testament, and he continued to do it through the New Testament, and he does it today. He brings us out of bondage and brings us to places of green pastures by streams where we can lie down and live in peace and live in abundance. And that's what he desires for us to do today, to walk in the abundance that he has available for you and I. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much that you are our Good Shepherd, that you guide, you protect, and you provide for each one of us, that you have equipped us from head to toe with the armor of God, with the fruit of the Spirit, with the gifts of the Spirit, so that we can go and live in an abundant life and then share that abundance with those around us. Help us not to be selfish with the abundance, but also to pass that along to those around us. Help us, Holy Spirit, to seek out your gifts and activate them in us, and stir gifts up in us so that when we're out and about living life, that you call us to lay hands on somebody and they are healed. When you call us to speak life over somebody, that the dead things begin to rise. I thank you, Jesus, that you have given us abundant life, and that you have warned us that the enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy, but you have come to give us life and life abundantly. So Jesus, we thank you for what you did on the cross, and we thank you that you have given us abundant life, and that as we're breaking free from things that might be deep-rooted, that we know that that's not where it ends, that we can walk in all authority and abundance. In Jesus' name, amen.